you will, turn in your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I want us to read this together out loud. Something about reading the Word in unity that brings a little more power to it, I think. So, if you will join me, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Just so we're all on the same page, I'm reading from the New King James Version for this. So you can read off the screen if you don't happen to have that. Here's what it says. Let's read it together. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Let's read that again. Read it like you mean it, okay? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us spiritual gifts. He empowers us to use them. Now, that Spirit does not impart fear into us. It gives us power, love, and I love that's the New King James. It says sound mind. I like the NIV. It says self-discipline. It gives us power, love, and self-discipline in order to act the way we need to act in the appropriate times. The Holy Spirit is who is empowering us. The power for the various circumstances of life. The love that is to be directed towards other individuals. It doesn't matter if it's a spouse, a child, a best friend, someone who doesn't know Christ. Whomever it is, that love is there in order to direct it toward other individuals. And then there's the self-control. As I said, it's the ability to know what to do in the appropriate time, how to act in the appropriate time. Today, as we get started, we're going to talk about fear. Fear does not come from God. We just said that. He's the one who gives us power. But we must understand there's one fear that gets all of us. It's very hard to overcome, and it's the fear of failure. It causes us to keep from doing the things we know we should do, to keep from doing the things God's called us to do, because we have that in our minds. What if it doesn't work out? What if I'm wrong? The fear of failure. At one point or another, we all have it. The good news is, once again, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, so He can help us overcome it. And there's a reason that we have this fear of failure. Now, I have a bulletin for you. On the back, we put sermon notes on there. And point number one is, you will fail. That's encouraging, right? This is the best thing ever. Hey, you're going to fail. You know what? It's the truth. We all fail. It's why we fear it, because we never know when it's coming. If we knew how to predict it and know when the fear was coming, hey, we'd take more chances because we're like, hey, we're going to make it on this one, but we're not on this one, so we won't try it. We don't know when it's coming, therefore the fear comes over us and causes us not to take a step forward. However, if you embrace the idea that you're going to fail and embrace the idea that it's a growing process toward success. I said failure is a growing process toward success. Let me give you two examples. In 1943, Richard James was a naval mechanical engineer stationed at the William Cramp and Sons shipyards in Philadelphia. He was developing springs that could support and stabilize sensitive instruments aboard the ships in the rough seas. So as they're going up and down and all of that, he needed a spring that would be able to help these instruments work. He accidentally knocked one of the springs off the shelf, which landed on a pile of books, which landed on the table, which landed on the floor, and stood up on its own. From that, we have the Slinky. He went home to his wife and he said, I think I've found a toy the kids would love. And therefore, he made the Slinky. The toy was a hit. Okay, you know how certain toys are the hot item and people will do whatever it takes to get them. They'll stand in hour-long lines, whatever it takes, pay more money than they need to in order to get this toy. This toy was, when distributed, it sold all 400 of its inventory. 400 is all they made the first time. It stole those 490 minutes. Now, that happened in 1943. So the Slinky at what time was the hot item? Can you imagine? This. Not an iPad, not your latest phone, whatever you want. They stood in line to get the Slinky. This is pretty funny. It was originally priced at $1. Now, many paid much more due to a price increase on spring steel throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It has remained modestly priced. I bought this one for $3 at Walmart this week, just for the example. So it's remained modestly priced because the wife of the inventor, Betty Steele, she wanted this to be something that any child could afford. So she kept the price very inexpensive. Slinkies have been used for many other things other than the playroom. It's been used in the classroom as a teaching tool. In wartime, the Slinky was a radio antenna. Also, physics experiments for NASA used Slinkies. In the first 60 years of its life or existence as a Slinky, they sold 300 million units of Slinkies. All because a guy knocked a spring off a shelf. Now, anybody ever use Post-its? Gotta love them, right? You can stick them anywhere. Here's an interesting fact for you. The Post-it was developed in 1968 by accident. Dr. Spencer Silver, a scientist, was attempting to develop a strong adhesive. He wanted a super glue. Unfortunately, he accidentally created a low-tack, reusable, pressure-sensitive adhesive, which is what is on the back of the sticky note. For 5 years, he traveled promoting the adhesive, just the glue. That's all he was promoting. He didn't have any success with it. Nobody cared about his ridiculous glue. So in 1974, a colleague attended one of his seminars, and his name was Art Fry. He came up with the idea of using this adhesive to anchor his bookmark in his hymn book. I kid you not, he was the choir director, and he needed something to keep his pages in his hymn book, so that's where the adhesive was placed. And that's where they got the idea for the sticky note or the Post-it. Now, it's interesting because even the first few times, it didn't work. They called it the press and peel first in 1977, but the results were disappointing. The reason it was yellow is because the lab next door to the 3M people had yellow scrap paper. So that's what they used. That's how they came up with the yellow idea. And later, 3M finally just gave out. All over Boise, Idaho, they gave out tons of Post-its, to which 94% of the people that used them said, if this was a product in a store, I would buy it. Therefore, they finally released it again in 1979, known as the Post-it, and that's what we get today. All because some dude tried to invent some glue, we have the Post-it. Failure is a part of life. There are times when you will fail. Many of us misunderstand failure and believe it reflects poorly on us. We falsely believe that successful people never fail. Probably successful people fail more often. They're just willing to keep trying until they get it right. Life is not graded by percentages. It's not like a classroom. It's not a test or an event. Life is a process. And if we will understand that we will fail, we'll be willing to keep trying. Now, James chapter 3, verse 2, it says, we all stumble in many ways. Can we get a hold of that? Remember point number one? You will fail. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. Anybody out here want to admit to being perfect? Anyone? Okay, thank you. Able to keep their whole body in check. Here's the thing we understand. We're all going to fail, but when you fail, you can allow yourself to feel disappointment, but the problem is when we begin to feel disapproval. We begin to see ourselves as a failure rather than the moment as a failure. Failure is an event, not a person. So I think in these moments, here's the one thing we must understand, and I'm going to make sure, if I didn't put this in your notes, you might want to write this down. The important thing is not avoiding failure, it's how you respond when you fail. I'll say that again. The important thing is not avoiding failure. It's learning how to respond when you fail. It's a part of the growing process. If you, once again, understand people who are successful have definitely failed. Here's a great example. In 1922, Harry Truman was 38 years old. He was in debt and out of work. He had no job. And 23 years later, in 1945, he became the president of the United States. Now, you wouldn't think the president would be a guy who ever failed. He was successful at everything he did, but he wasn't. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says this: "We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance." Now, I like the New Living Translation because it says, "We can rejoice too." Do you hear that? We can rejoice also, if you want to say it that way, when we run into problems and trials, for we know they are good for us and help us to learn to endure. The difference is we have to be willing to accept the failure. We have to be willing to accept that something probably needs to change in order for us to be successful in that. So when we anticipate failure is a possibility, we're able to make adjustments, corrections, and change sooner. So here's the question for the day. Will you fail forward or backwards? Will you fail forward or backwards? Here's something I want to give you. People who fail backwards. Five things right here. People who fail backwards. Number one, they blame others. Number two, they repeat their mistakes. Number three, they expect to never fail again. Number four, they think they are now a failure. We already talked about that. And number five, they quit. They give up before they ever find success because they're failing the wrong direction. People who fail forward, however, let me give you six things. Number one, they take responsibility for the result. They treat failure as an isolated incident. They learn from their mistakes. They accept failure as part of the process. They take new risks and they persevere. I know I went through those fast, but I have a lot of information today. So I'm going to keep cruising. So we have to first of all understand we will fail. Here's the good news though. Number two, you can overcome. Say that with me. Say you can overcome. You can overcome. By the power of the Spirit of God, by the word of your testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb, you can overcome. Can you say amen to that? Proverbs 24:16 says, "For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble with when calamity strikes." See, the righteous, that's the difference. Though the righteous fall seven times, they keep raising up. Now, this reminds me of a 90s song. I'm a music guy, so you're going to have to bear with me for just a moment. I'll apologize now. I like all kinds of music. And I remember this song in the 90s. And rather than just give it away, I'll just let David hit play and you can check this out. This reminds me of this scripture: "Though we fall seven times, we'll rise again." I know most of you know this. Are you ready? Here we go. "I get knocked down, but I get up again." Exactly. Everybody knows this song. Okay. That's good, David. Thank you. Maybe that's not your era. You're like, what? I don't even know that song. Of all things, the name of that group is the Chumbawamba. Chumbawamba. And that's the tub-thumping song. How ridiculous, right? Okay, so maybe you're a little on the older side of that. And maybe you grew up in the 70s, early 80s, like myself. I was pretty young then, but I do remember these. I actually remember Tessa even having these. Anybody remember the Weebles? What do? They wobble, but they what? Go ahead and hit play. Let's check this out.
Ever watch kids play with Weebles? It's really something. Hey, hey, look at me and Weeble. Me and Weeble go all around. One day, kids pretend they're flying into Weeble Air Force. Next day, they play around the Weevil Cottage. Or if it's real nice, they go out to the Weevil Marina and go fishing. Hey, hey, look at me and Weevil. The Weevils waddle, but they don't fall down. Rock-a-roo makes Weevil toys.
The Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down. Hey, if you can remember anything today, I get knocked down, but I get up again. Though the righteous fall seven times, they what? Rise. They rise again. It's understanding failure. I'm going to redefine this for you. Failure is this. It's the price that I pay on the road to God's success. Failure is the price I pay on the road to God's success, not what I consider success. Because let me just be honest with you. If you will shoot for God's success, you will be successful. I'll say that again. If you shoot for God's success, you will be successful. Think about that. Rather than just saying, well, what do I define success as being? It's up to God. Necessary abilities to fail forward is the ability to reject rejection. If you can handle the fact that sometimes people are going to say no, you'll be more willing to say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? Hey, do you know what it is to serve our God? And as you're willing to do that, some people will go, you know, I don't want anything to do with what you're saying. And some people give up and say, okay, I probably shouldn't do that. But when you understand some people are going to reject you, how many ever did some phone calls, you know, like the sales? Anybody ever do that? Oh my goodness, if you did it, I never did, thank goodness. But if you got to expect some people are going to say no. You're not going to hit it every time, but you're going for the ones that say yes. Don't base your self-worth on performance. Don't blame others or circumstances. Take responsibility. And this is where it comes to the Bible again. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love this. If we are willing to accept responsibility for our sins, we take them to Christ. He's willing to forgive us our sins, which cleanses us from unrighteousness, which makes us what? Righteous. If He's cleansing us from unrighteousness, it makes us righteous. Then what was our scripture we just read in Proverbs? Though the righteous fall seven times, they will rise again. Understand, if you're willing to accept responsibility for your sins, repent, and let Christ take those from you, you are the righteous. That though you may fall, you will rise again. It's all about failing forward. It's all about moving forward, not focusing on the weaknesses, not focusing on what you did in the past, but what your future is going to be. Focus on your strengths. Fail forward means you're focused on what you can do well, not on what you can't do. The only time to focus on a weakness is if it's hurting you or someone around you. Other than that, we should be focused on our strengths. I love this story I'm about to tell you. It's about this teacher who taught a pottery class. And every year at the beginning of the year, in the first few weeks of the class, he would split the class right down the middle. And he would say, okay, I want this half of the class to focus on quality. I want you to make me the best pot you can make in 3 hours. And this whole half of the class had to get together. They had to focus on this one pot that they could make that would look perfect. And he told this half of the class, I want you for the next 3 hours to focus on quantity. Make as many pots as you can possibly make. Go. They had 3 hours. At the end of the 3 hours, normally, he did this every year, most of the time this side would have the one pot, this side would have about 80 to 100 pots. And every single time, there would be 10 or 12 of these pots way better than the one made on this side. Because every time they would make it, they were focused on fixing whatever they had done wrong. They would see a flaw, they would make another one. They'd see a flaw, they'd make another one. The first few were awful. But as they continued to make them over and over and over, they got better. And before long, they were making better pots than the one that they focused on this side. So the class would come to him and say, Professor, why is this? And he says, one of the biggest mistakes that we make is we overanalyze, we overprepare, we work on a committee, and we hesitate to risk failure. We succeed because we don't fear failure. The group on this side, they weren't worried about failing. They knew, you know what, I just got to make another one. If it doesn't work out, I'll just make another one. And they just continued on and on and on. One of my favorite things to do in ministry is a simple thing. I love planning events. I loved Friday night. We had a blast in the park. I love doing the marriage night that we have, the one night. I love doing Christmas program when we, you know, play the music. We throw Easter. We throw this big screen on the back wall. I love planning anything big. I like putting the music together for those things. I like finding videos that are going to go with it. And I love just throwing it all together and watching people enjoy themselves in those events. I have a great time doing that. But my first event I ever planned was a huge disaster. It was a huge failure. Courtney and I lived in Texas, first youth ministry that we ever did. We'd been there probably 6 months. And I wanted to do something special for our students and have this big youth rally at our church. So I called. I got a really well-known speaker in the area. He agreed to come. I worked on getting a band. I actually got her brother and his band to travel all the way to Texas from Springfield to do the music for us. I had all this worked out. Man, I had games planned for the night. You know, we had probably 8 or 10 churches within just a short range, because this is right on the edge of Dallas. So we had churches all over. And Monday morning, the event is going to be Friday night of that week. And it hits me that I've made all these preparations. I did everything I could do. The one thing I didn't do was tell anybody. I forgot to promote it. So I'm sitting in my office and I'm going, I didn't tell the other churches. My students knew about it. I told our students. I didn't tell any of the other churches. So I'm on the phone with these youth pastors and I'm going, hey guys, I got this event Friday night. Droy Carpenter's going to be there. He was the speaker. I got a band. I got everything set up. And they're going, man, it's Monday. Are you talking about Friday? And I'm like, yeah. So they're saying, we got Wednesday night to promote this. We'll do what we can. All of them had something else going on. We had one other church that was able to come, and we had maybe 30 students in the room for this event that could have had a packed house. All because I forgot to promote it. You know what? I learned more from that one mistake, that one failed attempt, than I could ever learn from 10 successes, because it implanted something in my mind that you can't have an event if you don't promote it. You have to do that. But just because I failed didn't mean I just said, I'll never do another event. Man, I've had several events over the life of our ministry, and I enjoy doing it every single time. I love putting things together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this. Let us not become weary in doing good. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, it doesn't always matter what happens to you. The important thing is what happens in you. Because when God does something in you, He's preparing you for what He wants to do through you. Does that make sense? So we understand you will fail. The good news is you can overcome. And finally, you must take faith risks. You know, we just talked about this in June. I had this same point as in one of my sermons, and I want to use it again. It's Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes in must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Without faith, without stepping out of our comfort zone, it is impossible to please God. So the question is, what is God asking you to do? What is He calling you to do? Over the past week, I have been praying and looking forward to this moment right here, what I'm about to do. Up until this point, this has kind of been like a TED Talk. This has kind of just been, you could have heard this in your teacher's class at school. But I'm about to turn this into what the Bible says. Yes, we've used Scripture, but I want to show you through one person who failed royally, how successful you can be with God's help. Once again, this is God's success, not ours. I've been looking forward to this all week. His name is Peter, and we all know him. We've all heard about him. We know about his failures. Today, I want to focus on his successes. Let me just read this to you. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to just tell you, you're going to need Matthew and Acts. And we're going to close this thing out with a little fun today. Matthew chapter 16. How many of you know Jesus knew the future? He knew what was going to happen before it happened. He predicted his own future. He knew what was going to go down. He even knew what Peter was going to do. Right? He knew that Peter would deny him. He knew there was going to be failure in Peter's life. But I want you to see Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah and one of the prophets." "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, here he is, he says, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." I want you to remember what Jesus has said to Peter. Remember these words. Just for the next few moments. If you can't remember it for an hour, remember for 10 minutes. Okay? I want you to think about what Jesus just said to Peter. Imagine that was you. And Jesus has just said, "On you, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell cannot come against you." Jesus knew Peter was going to fail. After these words, he still cut a soldier's ear off. He still denied Jesus. He cursed at other people before he denied him. He's still sitting at Jesus' feet, and Jesus is going to wash his feet. And Peter's like, "No, you're not." And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." This same Peter that did all of that, let's see what he does in Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Jesus has died, he's risen, and he's ascended into heaven. But what did he say? He said, "I leave the Holy Spirit as the comforter." And it says in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak in other tongues. And it says that the crowd did not know how to respond. They were perplexed and they said, "What could this mean?" And some even mocked and said, "They're full of new wine." But Peter, this guy, the one who failed how many times? The guy who probably, by our standards, should have just kept his mouth shut and just stood in the corner. You know what I'm saying? He probably didn't have much clout at this point. But what does he do? He says, it says, Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, all of you who believe in Jerusalem." I'm in verse 14. Sorry, I didn't tell you that. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. "All of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." So he's got their attention. The same guy that probably had their attention before when he's made mistakes. And here's what he says, verse 15. "These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon turned to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." There it is. That's Peter. He got knocked down, but what'd he do? He got up again. Thank you, David. Look at Peter go, man. He didn't say, "You know what? I failed too many times. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut." No, he began to preach and he began to talk to him. Turn to verse 38. Same Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Look at verse 40. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and 3,000 were added to that number that day. That's Peter. Church, I need you to understand, this could be you. Have you failed before? I said, have you failed before? But it doesn't matter. If you will step up and do what God has called you to do, He will give you the power to do it. Oh man, that's quiet. I said, if He's calling you to do something and you will listen, step up and do what He's called you to do, He will give you the power to do it. Just as Peter did. 3,000 people came to Christ because a dude who failed before forgot what failure was. Are you hearing me? He forgot all about all the times that he did wrong. He forgot all about those. Let's keep going. What else did Peter do? He's not finished yet. In Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, Peter and John are going to pray in the temple. And here lies a man at a gate called Beautiful. He's crippled. That's all he's ever known. And he's just asking for money. And Peter walks up and he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he will rise again. Can you say amen to that? Look at the power of God working through Peter. It was not Peter doing this. This is God working through Peter. He just had to say the words. Imagine, just think for a moment, if walking by that man, he had thought, you know what? I failed too many times. What if I say it and he can't get up? What if I say this and everybody around me hears me and this man just lays there? How many times have you walked by an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone afraid that they might not accept it? Though the righteous fall 7 times, you will rise again. And God will use you in mighty ways if you'll just say yes. Every person in this room, we need you. We need Peters who will forget the failures, who will forget the past and accept the moment that they're in and the moment that God calls you to do something. If He's calling you to start a ministry, start a ministry. If He's calling you to start a business, start a business. Do what God is calling you to do. I'm not done here. Peter's going to keep going. I love this. Our greatest fear is failure, and if you let it overtake you, it will cost you more than you could ever imagine. Your greatest fear, failure, will lead you to your greatest regret. I said your greatest fear, which is failure, will lead you to your greatest regret. Peter, in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Acts chapter 5. I'm not going to read all of this. You can read it for yourself. But I love this story. These people could not be stopped. They were on fire. Verse 12 of Acts chapter 5. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them. Even though they were highly regarded by the people, nevertheless, more and more men who believed in the Lord were added to their number. As a result, listen to this. People brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Just the fact that his shadow would come by. This guy who had failed, forgotten his failures. Verse 16, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and their tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Now here's where it gets funny. I would love to see a movie about this. You see, anytime something good's going on, somebody's going to get upset. So here it is. The high priest and all the associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. So what did they do? They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, verse 19, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Man, they could not be stopped. They just kept on going. Even though the people tried to stop them, they did what they were told to do. Look at verse 25. Someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." And at that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. Again, they arrested them. And they're trying to figure out what to do with them. I want you to skip down to verse 38 as we close this out. Verse 38. "Therefore, in this present case, I advise you, leave these men alone and let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." Church, if God is on your side, we sing this stuff all the time. These are not just songs written so we can just clap our hands and sing, "Woo! Nothing is impossible." Do you believe when you're singing that? All things are possible with God. We sing, our God is greater, our God is stronger, higher than any other. If we can sing those songs, shouldn't we be living that out? If we can sing those songs. Verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. I get no doubt. I had to have a little fun with that. Thank you, David. I told you I'm a music guy, and when I'm in the house, I'm always walking around the house singing something. And I have not been successful until I get Courtney singing that. And I'll catch her singing, and that's when I'm like, yes, and it drives her nuts. Because she doesn't even realize it until she's singing. I might even just walk by humming it, and then all of a sudden she's singing it, and she's like, "Chad?" And it drives her crazy. So today, when you go home, you're going to be singing, "I get knocked down." I hope you are, because I need you to understand, you may fail. That's okay. With God, we will overcome and try it again. Fail forward. Keep trying. Keep attempting new things. And do what God has called you to do. And if you do, no word, no person, no spirit, no anything can stop you, because God is on your side. Can you say amen to that? Now stand to your feet. Let's give God praise for just a moment, for who He is, for what He's able to do. We serve a powerful God. And I encourage you. Friday night was awesome. Thank you so much for everybody who helped, everybody willing to be there. Man, you cotton candy people, you guys sacrifice. I mean, they get it from all the way up their arm. They got to wear a trash bag or something to keep their clothes clean. Thank you for your service. Thank you for every person who loaded, who unloaded, all of that. It took every one of us. But you know what? We're not done. We're not finished. Doing that on Friday night and just sit back and go, "Woohoo, that was fun." No. Every single day of our life, God is calling us to do something. Will we make it right every time? Will we get it right every time? No. Keep trying. Fail forward. Keep going. Don't fear failure. Understand that God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Bow your heads with me. Thank you, Jesus, for your power. Thank you for your love that you share with us in order for us to share with others. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to understand failure is real. It's the reality. It's going to happen. But God, you can help us to overcome that. You can help us to get it right, to find the right words to say to help someone, to pray the right prayer to help someone. It's up to each one of us to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and do what you've called us to do. God, I pray that ministries would begin to form in people's hearts and minds right now. Ministries that haven't even been thought of. Lord, I pray that loved ones who've been lost for years, Lord, someone in this place would have the courage to speak to them for the first time ever and encourage them in the Lord and bring them to salvation. For the co-workers who are lost, use us, Heavenly Father, to reach them. Holy Spirit, do your work right now. Do your work in our hearts. May we walk out of here victorious. Some of us have so much of a hard time getting beyond failure. That's all we can focus on is our past failures. And I pray that they would be erased in this moment. Through the forgiveness of sins. So if you're in this place right now and you say, Jack, I just need prayer for salvation today. I need to accept Jesus Christ in my heart. Maybe for the first time. Maybe it's just been a long time. If you're in this room right now, I'm going to ask you just to make eye contact with me. You don't have to raise your hand. Nobody else is looking around. If you'll just look at me and say, Chad, I need prayer. I'm going to scan this room, and I'm looking for people who need prayer for salvation today. And if that's you, I just want you to look at me. Okay. Anyone else? I'm going to look again. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe in you. Thank you for accepting me. I ask you into my heart. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Thank you for doing so. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Give this one a hand. Salvation. May you walk out of this place today empowered, encouraged to share the love of Jesus with others. May you forget those past failures. Be willing to step out of your comfort zone. Try something new. Whatever that is, God is the one speaking to you about that. I don't have to give you any idea of what that is because God's already talking to you in your heart. I love you. Thank you for being here today, and God bless you. Have a great day.